Hello, everybody. This is the Gingerbread Man, and I'd like to welcome you to my home. I have a great friend with me here today by the name of Kreese.
Hello.
Shalom. We're going to talk about important shit. What's the most important thing in the world, Chris?
Right now, for me, it's my daughter, for sure. Okay. And then second to that is myself. Or one way or the other.
Well, I think they're kind of interdependent.
For sure. You need to take care of yourself to take care of others.
Mm-hmm. I always think of this analogy, like if you have somebody who's drowning out in the water and like you jump in with no life vest and you don't know how to swim, are you that much help to them?
No.
Like
it's, no, you're just killing both of you.
It's pointless. Like, so what kind of things do you think are important to give to our kids?
Life lessons for sure, like how to treat other people, but don't put them above you.
Right.
You know, like, be kind to everyone, but still be kind to yourself, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That's something that I feel like I'm still learning. Like, and I learn it a lot through the kids, too. Like, looking at, like, how they're interacting and how they're feeling about shit that's happening to them. Because kids, they don't even know how to, like, take on stress, really.
No.
Like, when things happen, like, they're just the perfect example of, like, every bad time that I've taken stress badly.
They just react to it, or... That's just how it is. They just react. There's no like emotional process that they go through, or there is, but it's like so black and white to them.
Mm-hmm. So the separation between how we want to react and what we actually do, is that being an adult? Like all these little films of like, I could do this.
Oh yeah.
But instead, like,
yeah. It's just like every day is just like choices, you know, you choose to be a good person, or, you know, when you're in traffic, you know, you can either cut someone off and just be an asshole, or, you know, you just abide by all the rules like everyone else does.
Do you think it's, like, inherent to want to abide by the rules, or do you think we kind of get pushed into it?
No, yeah, it's definitely all about, like, product of your environment, you know? Like, if you are raised in a hectic environment where, like, no, you don't really follow the rules, or it's okay to break the rules, then, of course, no, you're going to be a...
Well, that's the new normal.
Really yeah. Like, or more, it's more like being yourself, you know, being true to yourself, but sometimes it's not like the best thing, I guess.
Hmm.
I don't know.
True to oneself. That's a tricky one. Like, because like the idea of like, I'm going to be true to myself, but at the same time, I don't know exactly what that
is.
It, to put on the face of trying to be that self, isn't that another act in a way?
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
Kinda, like,
for sure. Like, how certain are you that this is who you are and not just who you think you're supposed to be, I guess.
And is one self that's adequate to take care of this moment, is it like able to take care of all the other potential moments? Like, there might be a lazy self, you know, like I have a lazy me.
Oh yeah.
You know, when I know that I need to sit back and stop. And then I have a work mode me, you know, and I have an angry me. And then I have like a patient me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, so I feel like I have this myriad of selves that can have like the ability to take on any moment that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And like, sometimes there's a self that doesn't react well. And then all the other ones and all my other times of being, you know, I'm like, oh shit, well, I fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Damn you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That kind of goes to the movie Inside Out. You know,
that's a great kids movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good kids movie, but it's an actual like good teaching skill to like know, like, you know, kind of personify your emotions, because they are separate things and separate kind of like, you know, you don't have different personalities, but they are sort of like, you would react a different situation if you're angry, sad, etc. So it's like, it's good to kind of like identify each of those states and kind of like, kind of put an identity to them, or like categorize them and be like, oh yeah, this is the angry me. And is it like, you know, does it look like me, or is it like kind of...
Sometimes I'm shocked. Like, I'm absolutely shocked.
Yeah.
In hindsight.
Some shit, yeah, can just leave you speechless, dude.
It's like you're interacting with yourself. You're like, why? But it's okay. I think... I liked how you used the word states, because I feel like a lot of these headsets, mindsets, you know, like, are like almost like an altered consciousness in a way. You know,
oh,
like, I feel like it's like a high in a way, but it's like a really bad, shitty high.
Oh yeah.
You know, and like it can happen.
It's like consuming.
It can happen with anything. Like if you mm-hmm. smoke pot at a bad moment when you're supposed to be around your family or going to church or you need to have your shit together, you're going to feel awkward, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you take on this angry buzz for a second in the wrong time period, you know, it could react really fucking badly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but at the same time, during moments like you got to defend somebody, angry you is the best person to be there, right?
Then, yeah.
And there, mm-hmm. you know, like, I guess part of the thing is trying to figure out, even with myself and what to give to my son, and is how to put the right character forward mm-hmm. in the right moment.
For sure.
Like, fucking...
Yeah, because you want to seem, like, really well put together to your child, but you still need to know that there are times when, no matter what, you're going to be upset, you're going to be sad, or, you know, shit's going to just knock you down, but it's all about how you react to the situation. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, are you going to hurt other people? Are you going to hurt yourself? Or are you going to, like, learn from the situation and...
Absolutely.
Do and be better.
Yeah, that's the trick, is being, trying to do the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an optimist, at least. I want to be better. And I think, I feel like other people want to, too. I have to hope.
Mm-hmm. yeah, kind of. It's like, if you get too lost in that, though, you can fucking really hurt yourself, you know, like, realize that, you know, some people are just, like, beyond help, and you just, you can't help them. There's some things in this world that you just can't help, you know? You can only just be a good person, and that's about it.
Or do your best.
There's not much more you can do beyond that.
Yeah. With children and teaching them these altered state of consciousnesses, in what way do you react? Like, tell me a funny story about your kiddo, like when you're just very shocked by her reaction.
Just really when... like, I haven't seen her for a few days, and then I just ask her, like, what she's doing. And she doesn't really, like, if she's not doing something that she can identify, like, eating or, like, watching this or that, she'll just be like, I don't know. And I think that's just, like, the funniest thing. Like, I'll be like, what are you doing? And then I'll pick her up, like, and she'll just, like, think and be like, I don't know. And I think that's just so, like, crazy that she can actually, like, her mind can think like that, you know, she'll, like, where it's, like, either if she's not, if she can't easily identify doing something, then she's A, honest, and B, just like, you know, I really don't know what I'm doing. She's not like quick to try to like find an answer, I guess.
Yeah, and even
which is like
even adults in conversation, if you ask them like, "How's your day?" a lot of the times you'll get a bunch of bullshit back.
Yeah,
that might not even have a lot of packing material behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of integrity in that answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But that's, like, a whole nother, like, fucking social situation, you know, like, it's just, that's something you ask someone when you meet them, like, oh, how's your day going? Like, you know, you don't really care, and you hope they just say good and not, like, actually tell you how their day is going, because you just be fucking sitting there for 5 minutes, and you're like, oh, well, I really regret
asking
you how your day was going. So like, I didn't know you would actually tell me, like,
if you ask
you're
somebody.
The fucking worst.
So if you ask somebody, you should be committed. To sitting there
pretty much
listening
yeah
to it that's a loaded question. It should have more weight
mm-hmm.
than we give it,
but yeah it's like, it's weird, you know, you still got to stay respectful to some people. Like, I was just bitching about it today, how someone was just like, oh, give me this, give me that, and I'm like, you know, like, how are you, like, is your day going fine? Because mine is going well. Do you care to know? And it's like, they really don't. So it's like, A, it's good that these people are being just like straight to the point and like, I want what I want, but B, it's still like a little bit dehumanizing to like, it's just like, I'm a fucking robot.
Mm.
I don't know. Strange situation.
Beyond the words, we have this, like, there's a lot of nonverbal communications with people too.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I see like these courtesies of like, hey, how you doing? Whatever. If they don't have a lot of weight, it loses its point,
mm-hmm.
you know, but what about little things like eye contact? Like even driving a car, like, how do you feel about making eye contact with pedestrians? Like, I think that's one of those things that's underdone. I try to make eye contact with any person going anywhere near my car.
Oh, yeah.
Just so I'm like, hey,
I always try to be aware, yeah.
Like, I have a giant metal beast
that's
got a fire on the inside that can demolish.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, it's a little bit weird, of course, if, like, you fuck up and then you end up at the same light. It's like, oh, I'm not going to fucking look at you, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, no. Yeah, you just got to... There's nothing wrong with looking at people at the light, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting them know that you know that they're there, this and that.
Well, there's this separation where, like, I see a lot of people nowadays that are just like, steam forward ahead.
Yeah, like, it's just like their own little bubble and
fucking blinders.
They can do, yeah.
And it's scary. Like it worries me. On the grand scheme, looking at like society nowadays, like that's how our country is operating. Is like,
oh yeah,
it's like all these little independent little ants that are refusing to realize that we're in this kind of group that needs to coalesce some way if we're going to keep doing it this way.
Yeah,
you know, which is a whole nother topic.
On
whether like
division in society and fucking like all that good shit. Oh yeah,
but fuck it, government should government exist, Chris?
Oh yeah, with the size population that we have, we definitely need government or some sort of, like, I don't know who it was, but they were saying, like, these cities should be set up with, like, a cap of 5,000, and then, like, was it you?
It was.
Yeah, it was you. Yeah, and I'm like, but that wouldn't really work, because you would have so many of, like, can you actually think about, like, how that would be if it is now? Like, how many separate counties and fucking...
You would have millions and millions of separate... And I would hope, and like, because what I'm going off here is I like consider a group of people. Like, say me and you had a group. You had your family. I had my family.
Yeah, let's just say all of our immediate friends.
So we have a group of maybe 20 people, and we're in a hunter-gatherer type of group. You know, am I going to steal your food if I depend on you for my life? We're in this group. Like, I'm not stealing from you. Anytime we interact with anybody, like this is a thought experiment, and I might be very optimistic, but our little group interacts with another little group. First off, I want my son fucking everybody in that other group.
Right.
Because we need to get some seeds out. Right? Because I feel like even old men weren't as imperialistic as, like, weird Brits. I don't think they were ancestral. I think, like, when you go back to, like, these thousands of, like, hunter-gatherer groups, I do feel that sex would be important in interaction more than war. It's a gut feeling, and I don't have a lot of the evidence for it.
I mean, yeah, for sure, because with war, you know, you just go and kill people, you know, and then you just procreate what you had, but yeah, like,
Which, when you have imperialistic societies, like the Vikings, which that's what they would do, they'd go take out settlements. But at this point, we already have settlements going, so they go sack a city, and of course, Genghis is going to go spread seed, you know, but if pre-settlement, when nobody has anything stapled down... Food. Me and you take down a caribou. We have no way to store it. Am I in any way trying to bogart any of the food from you? Or am I going to be trying to get everybody to eat it as quick as possible so they're as strong as possible, because it's going to go bad eventually? And we're on this 3x3 day food. We always have to be getting food. We don't have any storage. Storage comes with settlements.
Definitely, you know? The latter, for sure. Yeah.
So, and then I'm trying. I try to extrapolate. And so we have that interdependence between units. I feel that if you had a system of communes, each of those little tiny communes would interact like a little entity. And if you have dependence, if there's this need for trade and this need for seed, like, I feel that is one of the things that can hold societies together. And there have been commune societies. And I'm being careful because I don't want to say communistic societies. The word communism is loaded.
Yeah.
And the authoritarian governments that exist under that name are nothing like a true commune society. But like in Serbia, back in, I'm really bad at numbers, so I'm generalizing, but in the hundreds, ADs, there was a commune society that was like hundreds of thousands of communes that coexisted for over 400 years. And it was like millions of people that were they didn't have a lot of war, you know, and they're very loosely connected. It was the same with the Ghouls. If you ever heard of the Ghouls, which turned into the Celts. So the Ghouls and the Celts were tribal people that were in Europe at the time. No government. Rome couldn't take them on because there were millions of people that had each other's back.
Right.
And each of them were separate. Each little group was a separate unit.
But they still were like the whole...
Millions of people. As soon as you poked one ghoul, they fucked them. You know, and these were tall, huge people because they're very healthy. You know, like, I don't know. I digress.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of how America is too. You know, like, whenever people, like, you know, we talk shit on our own states and our own fucking neighbors and shit like that. But whenever, like, another fucking country is like, you know, like, America sucks and fuck you. Like, especially the UK, we're like, no, fuck you. America's the best. Like, you know, we'll unite, whatever. But, I think now, yeah, with our social status, it's just too much, what would you call it? Too much individual thought, I guess, you know, which can definitely be a bad thing, you know, like, and then other people just, like, fortify their own wrong thinking, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just so, it's so dangerous, you know? And it could lead to...
Especially with super huge shit. Players.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a shit ton of people. And...
Like those anti-vax celebrities, bro? Like, fucking... who was the first one, like, way back when? Who did the,
I have no idea. I don't pay attention to these people
at the all. The autism who... You know, when all that shit was coming up, I forgot who it was. Playboy Bunny? I don't remember.
There's been a lot of anti-vax things going back to the beginning of vaccines. Like, even after the first vaccine started taking out polio.
I remember seeing some shit on that. You could see
pictures of people with boards saying very similar things.
And ironically, they're in fucking Florida. It's like, that shit is still rampant.
The polarization of any idea, there's always going to be somebody who says it's the exact opposite.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this, like, this power. You get this feeling of righteousness when you deny an authority like that. Like, if you deny the authority on who says, like, medical authority in this one. And this is one I like to think about a lot. And I just had a really cool conversation with somebody who really doesn't trust the medical authority. But what is the medical authority? Like, are they authority? Are they, like, really people making rules? Or I feel like most scientists...
It's just a guideline.
Yes. The most scientists are begging for money, too.
Yeah.
They've gone through this rigorous system of schooling that costs a ridiculous amount of money. All right. So when I was in high school, one of the things we did sophomore year is we had to look up our career and see how many people were in the field and start to get an idea on what we'd like to get into it. And I was obsessed with chemistry because I was consumed with, you know, drug lore and all that bullshit. And I wanted to be the next Alfred Hoffman in my head. Mm-hmm. And so I remember in sophomore year looking up how many chemists are in the United States and how many people do you think are doing chemistry in the United States? This was about 10 years ago, so it might be different.
Not very many.
70,000.
Excuse me. Damn.
70,000 people are active research chemists on the books out of 330 million, which is like 0.001% of the population's in this field.
Yeah.
Whereas 60% of the people in the United States are in service or hospitality industries. You know, we're feeding each other or we're clothing each other. You know, like, that's where it's shifted. So... Mm-hmm. I have this sneaking suspicion that there's not a lot of research scientists out there that probably owe money and are begging for money just to be able to do their research. They sound like chagrined workers to me more than an authority base. Mm-hmm. But the separation comes where you have people who are not educated or not educated, but didn't go through this grueling collegiate education. Mm-hmm. So you have this evidence that's, or this information that's inaccessible. Because they don't understand how they give out this information. A lot of the science isn't bite-sized and easy to understand. Mm-hmm. So that's where this illusion of authority comes in that I think is completely full of shit.
Oh yeah,
you know. And I feel like that's the basis of most of these people is that they don't trust. Mm-hmm. That there's a breakdown in our ability to give information to people. You know, and like, just because it's science doesn't mean we can make it accessible.
Yeah.
Like, very, very accessible.
Yeah. And information isn't even always like a good thing. You know, information is different from like knowledge or intelligence, you know, just because you have access to, you know, stuff that may or may not be true. That doesn't mean that you're like all of a sudden an expert. You know, you see thousands and thousands of comments on these posts and it's like, there's no way all these people are well-informed on this one subject, you know?
They have opinions.
Yeah, they're opinions, and that's what people need to recognize that, and it's, you know, you see these videos of people getting mad at people's comments and shit, and it's like, why are you taking that, like, as truth, or as something that's serious, you know? It's just one person's opinion. That doesn't mean, like, now all of a sudden thousands of people are going to start thinking that is truth, you know, just because you got sucked into the same shit, you know?
Well, what people are talking about is true. Whether or not it's true, the viral endemic, you know, not the coronavirus, but the information viruses that the internet procures now, like where people can put down something just very stupid and it can catch fire, whether it's important or not. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying there should be a way to police that, but that's also part of this. I feel like that's a part of how easy it is for people to get caught up in these group narratives. You know, like. Have you ever heard of the line test? Did you ever do that in school where they'd get a clip, they get a bit like a white board and they'd draw three lines of separate lengths and they'd ask the whole class which line is the longest line and then there'd be a plant in the audience And so one of the classmates would have talked to the teacher and would start out and say the wrong line. And then so more people would start to say the wrong line. Mm-hmm. And the person who's not in on it would have to say, oh, do I go along and say what I think is the longest line? Or do I go around with the group of the class and say what I don't believe? Mm-hmm. And most of the time, people will vote against what they believe to be part of the group vote. If they feel like they're going counter to what other people are saying, they would rather vote along with the herd.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's this discomfort that comes from that.
Yeah, there's truth to that in, like, fucking everything. Like, I don't know, all these fucking, like, closet... The thing I always thought growing up is, like, you know, always have conviction, you know, like, say what you believe with your chest, you know, like, and if you fucking think some wrong shit, you know, at least say it, but you're gonna have to deal with the consequences that come with it, you know, all these people that are fucking... like having friendships ended and fucking losing their jobs and shit just because they said something bad on the internet. And it's like, well, you actually believe that, you know, just because it got recorded and it got out in a very viral way doesn't mean you like don't believe that, you know. You're not apologetic, you're just upset you got caught, you know. So yeah. I was always like, yeah, if you believe a certain way, even if it's wrong, you know, you should say it, you know, because at least you'll die saying, you know, I died, you know, proud or whatever.
And if you can say something, everybody could know it.
Yeah.
But going back to the selves, what if it's a like a weird version, like you ever said something and then definitely didn't believe it a different time? Like,
oh yeah, I mean, yeah, because and that's another thing why you can't be so certain in what you believe, because you know 3-4 years down the line it might just be totally fucking false and you're a totally different human being, you know. Like, imagine all these fucking, like, diehard Trump idiots, like, how are they going to feel, like, 4 years down the line now when, like, there's no way Trump is coming back into politics or there's no...
People are still talking about it, though. It's crazy.
Yeah, dude. And I still see people fucking, like, flying their flags all around town, man. Like, just, like, holding on to that belief, you know? Like, how far are you willing to go with that, you know? Like, it's good that you have a belief, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's going to come with all this, like, negative shit, but... You know, I don't understand it. You know, put all that faith and belief into something that, like, actually matters, not another man. What? Another political figure, dog? Like,
an idea of betterness. But going back to this grouping again. So, 330 million people on this planet, right? One guy with orange hair. With his pasty face, or his toupee. I don't think it's real anymore, right? But we got... new guy, other pasty white guy. I wonder how many people are actually in the government. Like, I think it can't be more than like four, couple thousand people, right?
Like it's probably legislation.
Counting their minions, not counting the paper pushers, like people who are on paper actually making.
Well, the government. I feel like the actual federal government like stretches very, very far. You know, like even part of the USPS is part of the federal government. You know what I mean? So it's like. It does have a very, very strong or very far reach, but if you're talking about, like...
the people who are signing letters like, that make huge changes in our infrastructure.
Like, what would that be? Like, the Senate? And like
yes.
The Chamber of Commerce or whatever?
Even the money supply isn't government.
Those people, yeah, it's probably, like, thousands, maybe, yeah. A couple thousand. A
couple thousands making decisions for 330 million.
Yeah, no. That, it's for sure wrong, but like...
So now we have a group of 5,000 people. Could one person... Go for it.
I Googled it.
Okay.
There are 542 federal offices.
So not thousands.
So there probably is a thousand.
Those are offices.
That didn't give me a big...
We're talking about, yeah, employees.
There's a shit ton of employees.
You probably won't even be able to like find that number, too, because...
There could be millions of employees, but like... the people who lobby to be politicians.
Yeah, those people, yeah. There's probably like in the thousands. Yeah,
there's a couple thousand.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you. Google guy.
Google guy. It's just Google.
All right. So could one person make decisions for 5,000? Do you think one person could...
No. Dude.
Empathetically...
one person couldn't even make decisions for 100 people.
I agree.
Think about our friend group and like going out. Like if we were all like, hey, let's go get something to eat tonight. Like, just imagine trying to figure out a place to eat.
If nobody was a conceder, which I feel a lot of people concede to others.
And I'm absolutely,
does that sound good to you? Let's do it.
Yeah, and
I
don't
want to argue.
That's like, how, like, we got into this thing, because, you know, people are like, you know, I don't know what to do, you know, so whoever seems like the strongest leader, like, okay, yeah, let's go with what he said.
Okay, so just to backpedal on that, so there are 542 federal offices. Federal offices are ran by one person, that's the elected official.
Yeah.
So that's 542 people that are running our country federally.
Yeah.
For the 330 million people that live here. Just anecdotal evidence or information, just so you guys are aware of that.
It's subjective what that means, of course. You know, like, of course, they have lots of employees, so delegation is this concept that's...
Yeah, because even, like, there's parks employees that are fucking federal employees.
And even within a restaurant at Wendy's, the manager has to delegate a lot of responsibility out. So there's this whole system of delegation. But
that has a fucking standard of procedure, though. You know, there's a certain way you're supposed to dress, act, fucking cook this or that. But, you know, there's not standard operating procedure to... Be an American, yeah. Fucking still have all your freedoms or whatever.
You ever heard of the Constitution, brother? Bill of Rights?
The Bill of Rights, motherfucker. Yeah, no, it's just... I don't know. Yeah, that's what I feel like it is. It's just too many differing opinions and too much certainty, you know? Like, people need to be uncertain in what they believe and always... You know, challenging their thoughts and, you know, am I wrong or am I right? You know, like, that's why I feel like people get way too confused is when they are so certain about something.
Yeah. The entertaining a notion is a good concept I like, which is the idea that you can hold something and be given something that sounds ludicrous and be able to be like, okay, I can step into this world for a second. And like say like flat earth, I know this is something I do, I beat this one with a dead horse but like just imagine flat earth being reality for a second, like stepping into that for a second, like okay,
like this, actually believing this flat, it
entertaining it, you know, having the ability to flitch between flat globe, oh maybe there's lizard people underneath the ground.
I do believe it. I showed you at Red Rocks, dude.
I know.
You saw that. There
was no... You saw it.
There wasn't... It was all flat. There was no...
No curvature.
You've been on the Space Needle, right?
Yeah. No, I actually didn't go.
It's all flat, dude.
Everywhere you can see. You when you go up in a plane. NASA's a lie. Anyways.
But a lot of the issues is like, yeah, you might have a lot of different uncertain ideas. A lot of people who don't share the exact same ideas. The artificial grouping of huge amounts of people, which there's never been as many people as there is on this planet right now.
No.
You know? And for most of mankind's history, like, which probably goes back hundreds of thousands of years of hominids, you know, and humans and our little tribal gathering, whatever, like, most of that time period population wasn't this high. So we're in this very short time period of growth that nobody's ever seen before, you know? And this has caused us to group together into large, huge countries, you know? And I think that's one of the biggest missteps. I think it's abstract, and I think we think it's normal, but I don't think it's necessary, you know? And so say you have a whole bunch of different groups that don't have the same ideas, you know? They might still have the same ideas for food, you know? Like, I guess that maybe that's my optimism, because we've been having religious wars. But how long has structured religion been tied to, like, settlements, like, groups of that kind of... I don't know.
It's probably been... not, like, religion, but, like, I feel like a need to, like, grow more, I guess? You know, expand your... what you have going on. Like, I feel like there's not very many settlements out there that were, like, you know, this is enough. You know, what we have going on is good, you know? Like, there certainly are, but I think... there were just so many out there that were like, you know, we need to just progress and build and do more and more and more and do something to, like, secure a future, you know, that they can't see.
Well, as soon as you're
keeping... And they were just so fucking hell-bent on that. We even are now, you know, like, we want to progress and do all this, like, future stuff. And, like, we were talking about the light rail, you know, like, they want to do this and that. But, like, what about, you know, like... the, what is it, like 30% of the country that's on fire, or all these, like, terrible social situations or economic and political situations that are going on, like, what about that shit first? You know, it's like, we need to stop and get a hold of what's going on right now instead of looking to the future.
I agree. Like, where are the priorities?
Yeah.
You know?
We are.
And that starts here. It starts with the people that you interact with.
And then people are just mad about the vaccine and fucking masks and all this bullshit. It's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, do you not understand what's going on right now? Like, really terrible shit. Like, the world is in such a terrible transition.
No, it's eerie. And I feel that. But we have a lot of strength as a species. And I don't think...
A lot of versatility, for sure.
I don't think we need a patriotic label abstractly tying together millions of people to do it. You know, I think most scientists aren't really thinking about America when they're doing science.
Mm-mm.
I don't think it's a very patriotic discipline.
No.
And I like this. This is a good one. So science itself is not nationalistic at all. The reason that science progresses and is such a wonderful thing is that it's always had this argumentative principle to it.
Mm-hmm.
You always have conflicting ideas in science, and within the scientific method, you have ways to prove people wrong empirically.
Yeah.
And we like that's what's progressed science so far is because it bickers with itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not any one country doing any great science. You know, we operate as a globe when it comes mm-hmm. to technology. You know, either we're stealing the information from other people or working together cooperatively. You know, one way or another, we're still working on the backs of other people thousands of generations back and right now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so yeah. So imagine if the globe operated like pure science did, where people made decisions, you know, in an argumentative way, mm-hmm. where people stood up for themselves, yet had the,
imagine if the Dark Ages never fucking happened.
Yeah. Well, there's been many Dark Ages.
Yeah.
Like, what's crazy is, like, before the Dark Ages, the world was really fucking nice.
Yeah.
And, like, this, like, Dark Ages is probably 1000 to 1600s.
It's like Afghanistan in the fucking 70s, dude. It was fucking...
Well, they had colleges.
The shit, yeah.
Yeah.
The women were fucking...
They had a really strong...
Had government. Rights, fucking driving cars, doing everything they need to, and then fucking... What was it? China? Russia.
Soviet Union and the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We came in shortly after the Soviet Union did, because we were in Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were putting people down wherever the Soviets put people down. And there was this massive grab over Asia, which... For some reason, white civilization has always had this weird feeling like we could go own other people.
Fucking goes back to the monarchies and shit and fucking, you know.
It's all over Asia.
Everything.
Like, Russia and then Afghanistan has a shipping route through the Middle East because it's located right underneath like a massive like stretch of land. It's like, where are the Boston bombers from? Like...
Armenia or something?
No, it's like one of the
Armenians.
Northern, eastern, like Middle Eastern countries that like borders Russia.
There's like Kazakhstan.
The yeah, it's one of the stands. I don't want to be racist, but yeah, it's one of the stands.
Because that one, Kazakhstan, and it's like borders Afghanistan. And you already know that like Russia annexed like fucking Kazakhstan at one point. You know, they had like a bunch of shit there. And then south is Afghanistan. So that's why they were there. They're trying to, like, annex it to mm-hmm. kind of, like, make it more of, like, a trade route within that barrier of the Middle East because Afghanistan separates pretty much that part.
That's a major part of the Silk Road, too.
Yeah.
It was, like, it's a very prosperous area. It has a lot of history. There's huge, like, architecture, like, mega buildings all over Afghanistan. It goes back thousands of years, the whole area. Yeah. But we've always gone through these cycles of, like, flourishing and then fucking ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm apt to believe, not to be Atlantean, but I think that there's probably civilizations going back, you know, in a conspiracy theory way. I think it's possible that there was civilizations that could have even gotten as far as we did technologically, and then all their shit just fucking evaporated or is, like, gone.
This planet is ancient.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah, or maybe they're rabbit people. Rabbit people sound cooler than reptiles.
Wouldn't it be like mole people and like the inner earth and like
Yeah. Or
elves like, and old machinery.
Like those maybe really
South Park had it right and it's just crab people.
Crab people. or those really weird salamanders with the very pale skin and like the weird frills on their faces. Like just a bunch of those, but very large ones. Semi-amphibious.
Like from Land of the Lost?
Yes.
Like no, they're definitely big civilizations, but I don't think there's anything that like comes close to what we have going on right now.
Yeah.
Like, you think another fucking civilization made like Bluetooth and fucking wireless headphones and like shit like that?
Maybe.
I don't think they had that sort of technology.
Maybe not the information tech that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But even a global society, I think a lot of people would argue that we never had a global society. And I think that's an overstatement. I think I think we could have had global societies where we had open trade between the Americas. The Aborigine, the ancient people that inhabit Australia, the Aborigines, mm-hmm. they go back at least 20,000 years, their civilization. They had open maps, like star charts. Like, this isn't conspiracy, like, whatever they're doing with those maps, but they had similar observational astronomy to, like, the Mayans. You know how people look at the Mayans and how crazy, but the Mayans were doing shit in the 1500s.
Yeah, and they had, like, calendars.
The Aborigines were doing this in 6,000 BC. You know, and so I think we can give, talk.
Well, I was just going to say, but it's like, you think about how long it takes to, like, even get across the ocean with the sort of, like, machines we have now. Like, I feel like there's no way they would be able to, like, actually accurately configure stuff and, like, get to all these places and have this sort of, like, communication, even if it is, like, just drawn on something, you know? Like, I feel like there's no way, like, people would do, that'd be, like, generations. That need to, like, you know, do this mission or whatever. Like,
maybe
chart out the fucking unknown.
Yeah, but what if it wasn't unknown? Like, and maybe they weren't as overpopulated as, or maybe they were.
Who fucking knows, man?
I love this shit.
Like, it's all about, like, what we find, because that's how it, you know, that's how stuff is, like, disproven, you know? That's how, like the Nephilim and fucking this and that was, like, disproven as, like, not being alive is because we don't find their carcasses, their poop, and, like,
some people believe in that shit. I just got added on to a Nephilim group recently.
And there's no, like bigger predator than them, I guess. I forget what how it's explained, but, you know, like, if they were there, then we would know that they were there because there would be obvious signs of
their existence. There's not a lot of big things on the Earth.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, gravity binds us. Even trees, like,
can get so big.
Like, they can't get much larger.
Like, the Hyperion is the biggest tree or whatever.
Yeah, and they don't get much bigger just because of gravity, you know? Like, and big creatures, when they did exist, like, you're talking, like, elephants. Like, you don't see, like,
yeah.
Like, even gorillas, they have a much different body. I don't know.
Like, I think
that's a weird way.
I definitely think that, like, humans were bigger.
Yeah.
But not, like, giant. You know, we were just, like, bigger, stouter, you know, like, had more bone mass, probably, or.
So, pre-agriculture, which the agricultural revolution is thought to have happened in 2000 BC. So, pre-agriculture, which I think that there could have, of course, not to be all conspiratorial, but there could have been a dark age and there could have been a civilization before we got stupid and then we could have had to refigure everything out. But, anyways, so in 2000 BC, they think that the people who were pulling strings, like the Persians, like the Chinese, like, or almost.
It was really advanced.
You know, they were starting to work with agriculture. And agriculture is what bound people down into settlements. Pre-agriculture, you couldn't grow enough, you were gathering. And like previously discussed, I don't think we were saving food back then,
mm-mm.
You know? And so agriculture spurs on this need to save things.
Mm-hmm.
So before that, no saving. Afterwards, you have people having the capacity to hoard. And as soon as you can save food, that's the beginning of being able to have more than somebody else.
Right, yeah.
And it gets rid of the interdependence because since you have more, I can profit off of what I have and I can make something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, that concept's not really needing if we're dependent on each other for survival. You know, I'm going to do everything I need to for you or your children.
Yeah.
You but know,
if you're
so,
like, I got this shit going on.
So pre-agriculture, the average size of man on most skeletons that have been found before this time period, which is tribal cultures, which there's still tribal cultures on this planet today.
Yeah.
And you can still see these trends that most tribal cultures and societies are incredibly healthy people. Like, they are apex examples of what a human can be,
mm-hmm.
You know? So his average size is about 6 foot, 6 foot five. right, after agriculture, between, I think it's like a 150-year period, the average skeleton size went from 6.5 feet to 5 feet in places like most of Europe, you know, like people shrunk because of growing food. And they think that a big part of that was monoculturing, because as soon as you start to grow food, you grow one type of food.
Yeah.
Tribal cultures, they can eat up to 200 different types of plants and seeds, 40 different types of animals. Like they eat so many different types of nutrient. And a wild strawberry plant is, on average, always more potent than a cultivated strawberry plant. Like, any plant that grows in the wild typically has you know, when you start to grow things over and over again and you have one type of monocultured seed, the nutrition of the food starts to go down.
Right.
Even if you can modify it and make it more easily to grow, you're still stuck in the cycle of producing more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas pre-agriculture, you're just gathering what you eat. You eat it, you keep going. You eat it, you keep going. You take care of family, you know? Like...
Yeah, yeah. I definitely believe that, yeah, people, they weren't fucking giants, you know, they weren't, like, storming everywhere across the fields.
Not 20 feet tall.
But, yeah, they're definitely bigger, for sure.
Not Goliath or King Kong, but, yeah. So, have you heard about our skulls shrinking?
Wasn't it our brain shrinking?
Could be, but our skulls are shrinking, too. Which is why people had to have their wisdom teeth out for like 50, 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before that time period, a lot of people weren't having their wisdom teeth removed.
But yeah, imagine a fucking surgery like that.
Odin doesn't have it. He doesn't have his wisdom teeth. He won't have his wisdom teeth come in.
Hmm.
He wasn't born with them.
Yeah, I haven't had mine.
I have mine fully in, but I have a Cro-Magnon face. I have a huge head.
Oh.
And a big mouth.
I don't know the dental effects it has, but
mm-hmm.
I don't like have any pain, and that's usually like the first sign, isn't it?
It's not just a problem, and it wasn't a problem for a long time because it was industrial food. All of our food's very soft now, so the industrial revolution happened in the 1850s. Is when we started to mechanically make a lot of food. You have a lot more canned food products,
mm-hmm.
and so people don't have to chew as much because we're not eating raw foods as much as our ancestors did, you know, or. So we don't have to chew as much. Our skull size and our skull mass has decreased by almost 50%. We have smaller heads than our ancestors did, which is why for a weird, awkward time period, everybody had to have these teeth removed. But within a 200-year period, we have already evolved where our children don't have them.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like a decade ago, like 15 years ago, I remember everybody like needed to get their wisdom teeth removed. Like my brother definitely had to have his wisdom teeth removed.
Most of our parents.
Yeah.
But I bet you your daughter doesn't have hers.
Probably not.
So our kids are going to rule the world.
I mean, inevitably, yeah, that's how it works, just the turn of time. But are they going to, like, actually rule the world? The way other people rule the world now?
Hopefully not. But somebody, they're going to be making decisions for themselves. You know, 40 years, all the youngins, they're going to be in the position of the people who are making decisions for us. Or at least have the opportunity to do it if they wanted to. You know? Like, it's pretty heavy thinking about it, how important they are. Like, we live such short little lives. You know, and even people in power, they only make decisions for a short little time.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. That's why everybody needs to, like, stop tripping. Like, if you do have some sort of, like, differing politics, like, just wait. Like, wait. 5-10 years, you know, it's going to be different. There's going to be more problems. There's not going to be any sort of like finality to it where everybody's like, oh yeah, great, you know, like we agree on everything. Like, it's always going to be some sort of continuous war, I guess, but it's like, how serious are you going to take it? You know, are you going to be fucking storming the Capitol, fucking dressed all in Trump shit, fucking trying to jump in there? Or are you just going to be like, oh wow, this kind of sucks, you know, like, we'll see how it goes next round.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of grace. Could you see yourself in the position of that kind of protest?
No. No.
Yeah.
Even the protest that happened here, I was just like, you know, nah. I just don't believe in politics that much, you know?
Yeah. Or the idea of protest is it all political? Like, I mean, of course you can have political aims.
Oh yeah, for sure. Most protests are.
There's an emotional part of it too, like where people. That's feel, all. Yeah, that's like what I was a lot say. Of people it's are fighting for
political or personal base.
Yeah,
like
use the word conviction earlier. You know.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's not a political idea, if you feel like somebody's attacking something that you feel is important, like, I think that's the motivation for, like, and the reason I can't see myself is because I don't think any of it's that important.
Exactly.
I think it's very stupid.
It's not, yeah. Literally, nothing is really all that important yeah. besides the stuff that you give importance, you know? And that's what is so wrong with all this shit, is just that these people have given importance to the wrong shit, you know? Like, people are, like, going on all these long rants on Facebook, but, like, you know, their children are just, like, playing on their iPad or just, like, doing the other shit. Like, go mm-hmm. fucking, go take care of your kid. That's why I see these people, like, with these fucking profiles and they're smiling with their kids and shit, and I'm like, go tell your kid you love them, you know? Like, get off Facebook and stop fucking looking at this shit, you know? Like, do something besides this.
Mm-hmm.
Getting mad on the internet. Yada yada.
First question was, what is important? What's the most important thing?
Exactly. Like, figure out what the most important thing is, and if you say fucking, like, arguing with strangers on Facebook, then, like, reevaluate what you got going on. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people who, like, run blogs and Facebook pages and fucking have these, like, huge, and they're not even, like, they're just like themselves. They're like, this is who I am, and like, I'm so proud of this and that, and it's like, dog, like, is that really who you are? Are you sure? Like,
so
dog,
entertaining a notion means that I feel is completely non-committal, so I feel like you could relate to, you know. And when you identify with any idea, whether it's a political idea or some abstract something, whatever, you know, like, a lot of these communities that are fringe communities, like anti-vaxxers that are all flat earth, you know, a lot of these things, there's a similar vein,
mm-hmm.
right? When you don't entertain a notion, the idea becomes that person, you know? Like, you see it with the religion. Some people who are very religious, every bit of their being is imbued with this, because the material world, which I don't think is all that important, but it's part of it, material world doesn't exist at all, because everything hinges on this afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that would mean nothing's important. All I can give away, all I can be a slave to, you know, whatever ethical core that I'm going to right now. But at that point, that person is completely involved in living in this idea, you know? And that should be something that's taught too, you know? I feel like I lived most of my life believing my ideas were me,
mm-hmm.
you know? To make it personal and not use a you, you know, like to talk to anybody else that's in the ether webs, you know? Like, most of my life, I did not see a separation between my ideas and who I was. And so I would get very offended, you know, even now, right now, I still do this because I'm human, you know? So, which is why I think it is, like, this, like, thing that should be taught, or at least taught about, especially with kids, is like, hey, you know, these ideas, they're just fucking things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this right here, this love, like, this being able to sit with people and be, you know, people, you know, without all this abstract bullshit, this is a lot more important than any idea we can come up with.
Literally.
You know? Like, there is an elephant god with golden tusks that's half centaur, and he surfs on a giant land crab while smoking hookah. You know, this guy is going to be our new god,
mm-hmm.
right? Now.
That's who I believe in.
That's who I believe in, too, you know? We can make up an idea any fucking time. It's at the end of the day, I think we're just very stupid as a species.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're brilliant and we're very powerful, but we need to disengage from the idea. Like, fuck it. Fuck if it's a vaccine, you know? Like, there are important ideas, like our health right now, you know? Like you said, you know? Like, there are important things, but even then, you know, at the end of the day, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just people are afraid to be wrong or just admit their, you know, what they thought was maybe not correct, you know. It's just like,
it's just,
and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, it's just, it's not, you know, it's not actually damaging to your character. It's not going to make you seem like an idiot or like a piece of garbage. There's nothing wrong with being like, hey, you know, I messed up, you know, like, there's like nothing wrong with a little bit of shame, you know. It actually puts everything into a little bit of perspective, you know, like,
yeah.
But dog, yeah, that's what it is, man. Just like
I just had this beautiful quote on shame that I just wrote down.
I love Joe Rogan's a big one, dog. Like,
what the Rogan?
He's so like so they're like, yeah, he's so well informed and researched and this and that, but I'm like, dog, but everything he thinks is true is like what he thinks is true, and I'm like, there's you can't have that sort of certainty, you know, like,
yeah.
You need to say like, this is what worked for me, you know. Joe Rogan, who is a multimillionaire and like has access to all this great healthcare and like works out like what 5 hours a day or some shit. Like, have you seen how fucking ripped Joe Rogan is? Like,
and he's sells a monster. All the health products.
Yeah,
he has to do it.
Yeah,
it's part of his business.
And that's what I think is so irresponsible with him, is because he's not like, hey, you know, like this is what worked for me. You know, like it's not gonna work for everybody. It's like, so he like rallies this whole fucking idea, and then it just like.
Well, that's why
snowballs into this.
I don't want to monetize this thing. This is a creative outlet.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever entangled this with some sort of financial money, it would fuck it up for me. You know, like
you can monetize it to like improve and get better equipment and maybe, shit like that. But it's like
it would make it harder for me to enjoy it as much.
You can't make it like a living, you know.
Exactly. It's not a job. It's a creative thing. Anyways, here's this thing I wrote down. It's by this guy named Dulubix, and it's this quote. What makes a man unworthy of the temple, which is like your soul, is the cowardice which prompts him to avoid the experience of shame. For this avoidance breeds oblivion. For shame, which is accepted, is the greatest treasure. Which, what I got from that is that shame is one of the hardest things for me to feel.
Yeah.
You know, like when I fight with my friends or something, it destroys me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just carry this like this stone of just like bile that makes me feel like vomiting, and it's this shame pellet.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what's so terrible, you know, just gotta get rid of that shit, you know.
But
just
the way you get rid of it is owning it.
Yeah.
You have to
saying own I'm it. Wrong or I fucked up.
You and have to go through it. You have to be it, and you have to say, I am this piece of dog shit right now, but I've been this piece of dog shit before, and I can pick myself up, and every time I do, I get stronger from it.
Literally.
You know?
And like, then eventually you just stop acting like a piece of dog shit.
Or maybe not. Maybe we just... I feel like I'll have another dog shit moment. But...
You always gotta learn from mistakes, Brandon.
You do learn it. You do get a little bit better every time. It's like this. It's the water that steams the sword. I don't know if they call that shit. You know, like when you're like.
I don't think I've heard that
before. Tempering metal. This, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
No, yeah, that's what that is. Water. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Let's see. What's something funny? We've been on some deep, deep, deep shit. What is your you favorite thing?
On the funny side.
What's your
turn it on?
You're a big car guy.
I am.
You tell me why do you think cars are cool? Why do you think cars are important? What are things that you see on the future that you're excited about? Like, what do you think about working on them? And I'm just throwing like this box of questions, but you just go.
Cars are of course important because we need them to get to and from everywhere we need to go. And I love cars because they're just fucking. They're made by a huge team of people and designers, but really it's just like one person who also really loves cars and just wants to make this really great, beautiful looking machine. And you know sometimes they're quick, sometimes they're not, doesn't really matter about that. But if it I really like the look of it. Like, speed is one thing, but the look of it is like, just, you know, there's some cars where it's just like they really just got it right, you know. It just looks really beautiful. And which also makes it like on the other side of the coin, where it's like, how do you spend so much fucking millions of dollars to produce this absolute piece of shit, you know?
Like where you have a bad car.
Yeah, like they just look fucking terrible. Like, do you know the Pontiac Aztec is like known as the fucking worst car ever because it looks like a piece of shit. It drives like a piece of shit, and it's just...
Can you Google it for me?
It's just so fucking nasty looking. It's like, yeah, definitely one of the worst cars. So it's like, how do you do millions of dollars in, what's it called? R&D, research and development. Yeah. And fucking, you know, pay people to make it, you know, pay all this fucking money, and it's just, like, what the fuck?
Well, do you like, what do you think of Musk?
Elon, I think he's kind of a weird dude.
I think he's fucking weird. I feel like he's like a golem. Mm-hmm. But I really like his cars. Honestly, when I see most Teslas on the road, like you said, that feeling, like, I like how they look.
Yeah, they look nice, and they're fucking quick, but...
I had one kick my ass. Yeah, dude, I had one, like literally just... It made zero noise. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, gone.
Yeah, I really just don't think electric is the future, you know, because electricity is actually a lot more fucking damaging to the earth than people think it is.
In what way?
Mining all the necessary, metals and shit, yeah. Yeah. That looks disgusting. Mustard yellow.
It's a trapezoid.
But yeah, mining all the necessary metals and stuff to actually make batteries and stuff and all this shit.
Like with scale, which people don't think about scale.
Yeah.
We have millions of people. Anything that we do, we have to implement times a million, billion.
Yeah, you think Teslas aren't in fucking China and Australia and fucking so all those Germany, batteries, Italy, fucking... Like
there's a little bit of gold in our phones,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we have to harvest tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of gold for billions of phones.
So yeah, like, I thought hydrogen was actually going to be the future for a little bit. There's a couple of hydrogen cars that are out there. Yeah.
Tell me about this.
It's a Nissan. I don't think it's a Leaf. It's called something. But yeah, I think it's mainly in California, but it runs completely on hydrogen. It doesn't even have any exhaust. It's completely clean. And I'm not too sure how they get the hydrogen, but they're available like at certain Shell gas stations, I think.
How does the engine work? Do they just burn it? Are they burning hydrogen like gasoline?
I don't really know.
Interesting. Is it like, I wonder if it's like a completely
I heard about this shit like a decade ago, you know, so it's kind of a little bit more developed, but they haven't been dumping money into that, you know. It's all been electricity, or and I think that's really it. People are just like banking on electricity.
Huh.
I don't know why.
What do you think about nuclear? Could there be nuclear cars?
Not car, no. Fuck no. Fuck no. Do you imagine how big that engine would be to have to... No. No, that's... but nuclear power as a power source, I think it's... If we were able to actually, like, safely do it and not have disasters how we have the past every single time, I don't know, we've had a nuclear power plant, it would be good because it's a very powerful energy source. But we've had Chernobyl, Fukushima... are there any other nuclear power?
I'm sure there's many that aren't even talked about. Those are ones that we just talk about.
Mm-hmm.
What would you
because name? They're the disasters.
What would you name a nuclear car if they somehow made
the
it?
The fucking what the fuck?
The what the
fuck? The what the fuck? Holy shit!
It just levitates.
And it just goes fucking.
What do you think they would look like? Do you think it'd be like how Fallout made their cars?
Yeah, I was going to say, there is one like nuclear powered car. Yeah. in the Fallout universe. It was actually in Forza, too.
Yeah.
I just,
it was called the Chrysalis or the Chrysalis, something like that, and it's a nuclear powered car.
I picture the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
No, it looks way better than that. But no, who knows? You know, it's actually really damaging to be driving your car because of all the greenhouse gases it emits. And
well, they say that, but then you look at the fires right now. That's the thing that keeps coming through my head, is I haven't been able to see the mountain for like a month now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of shit in the air. Like, there's so much stuff going into the air right now.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that the cars are part of it, but I think there's a lot of things that we're fucking up. And like, even electricity, it needs to be made with gasoline most of the time, right? Or some sort of oil.
I think it's coal.
Is it coal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking.
There's a little bit of water, you know, the dams and shit like that, but
would you make your own car?
No.
You wouldn't?
Fuck no. I'd make my own, like, cart. Like your a little go kart. Yeah. I would do that. But no, not a car.
What if you could design it and not actually have to make it, but just kind of guide it?
I would do that. Because I have this weird thing where I'm like, I have really good ideas, but I don't know how to.
To make it happen.
To create it, yeah. That's how I was with this tattoo, actually, is because I had a really good idea on what I wanted, but, you know, I can't fucking draw. So it was like, I just went to an artist that could draw.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, this is what we did, you know, this is what I want, blah, blah, blah. And then what she came back with was just fucking amazing.
Who did you tattoo?
No, what? No, she tattooed me.
Yeah.
The Baba Yaga.
Nice.
Baba Yaga.
What is Baba Yaga?
Is an old Russian witch in Swedish and Russian folklore. Like kind of in nowadays times is like depicted as like a like evil witch, kind of like eats children, fucking, you know, sort of like.
So what spread this?
What would you call it? Protagonist? The antagonist. Yeah, but really, throughout the actual tales and stuff like that, she's more of a like helper, really, and she just guides these children along or whatever, and she doesn't really like harm anyone. She's more of just like a being that's there.
So they're like lost children?
Yeah, essentially. Like, I haven't actually read any of the actual folklore or the fairy tales, but
that's interesting though. I haven't heard a lot about that.
Huh. Yep. Pretty yeah, cool. I kind of like the Russian culture. It's a little bit
it's hardcore.
Yeah.
Like all of northern,
it's fucking always gloomy and dark, yeah. And fucking the sun never shines there. Like, what the fuck? I remember I watched this video of this girl who lived in a Russian apartment, a typical Russian apartment, and it's like they gotta enter a lottery or some shit, or she was just like, we're really lucky to have this fucking two-bedroom apartment.
It's probably public housing, because it's government housing.
Government housing, yeah, is what it was. And, like, there's no stairs for, or there are stairs, but there's no ramp for, like, her baby stroller, so she's just gotta, like, lug it up, and then the elevator doesn't work, and it's like, yeah, just like, how do you, I don't get it. It's just such a hardcore place to fucking live.
Yeah. What would you envision as a good place to live?
Honestly, here. Fucking America. Like, this is a good place to live if the individual, like...
Do you like living in a city?
No.
Like, where do you picture yourself in, like, the perfect place?
I'd say somewhere like Pueblo, but not as crime-ridden.
Not as crime-ridden. But like, would you ever
see kind of like a small town place? Like,
so you want to stay in a community?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I wouldn't want to like be a loner or anything like that. I don't want to like, you know, people are like, I just want to go to the mountains and just live in the mountains. Like, yeah. No, the fuck you don't. No, the fuck you do not.
In a cabin with no electricity,
yeah, like running water. Like you say that, but then you know,
here's a bow and arrow, Todd.
Yeah, your grocery trip is 50 miles to the east, and it's like, no, the fuck you don't. You just want to like not be so close to your neighbor, you know. But, yeah, just, like, a little place that's, like, you know, not such a big fucking city where you gotta worry about just driving to your work and someone getting pissed at you, you know, like, they're gonna, like, pull a gun on you or some shit. Like, how big, like, some road rage shit is what I mean.
How big of a house do you need? Do you like living in small? Like, are you a minimalist? Or do you think... like big ass mansions are cool?
No, I definitely don't think mansions are cool. And I've lived in big houses like all my life, and it's just like, it's just so big and empty and pointless. Like, I'd rather, yeah, just be, have a small little, like a ranch, you know. It's a ranch with a basement.
It's hard to clean a big house. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, when you have like a little just apartment. Maintaining a house and like property tax and like the actual logistics of owning a big house is not worth it.
What is, just as an ender, because we're coming up on time a little bit, what is some advice that you would give to yourself 10 years ago?
Take care of yourself. Above all.
What are the best ways to take care of yourself?
I would say, like, experience, you know, because, like, you gotta just, like, get out there and do shit, you know? Like, you can't just stay in your own little square or your own little comfort zone, you know? You need to be okay with being uncomfortable and doing stuff that not makes you scared, but you hesitate a little bit, you know?
Scared. I agree, though. I agree totally. Yeah. Like... What are other ways? Like, physically, what are easy things...
Physically, like,
you know, like sleep, you know, eating, you know.
Well, that's just basic stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Just got to make sure you eat good and get good rest.
I agree.
Because nothing beats a good night's sleep.
Would you change anything if you could go back in time?
Literally everything. And I'm sure everyone would agree with that. Literally everything.
Would you change it, though?
Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah.
What if things were so drastically different? Could you tell? Like, I feel really grateful.
Because I say that doesn't mean I'm so grateful for everything I have in my life, but it's like...
I would be terrified to lose anything. I feel like, not in a determinist way, I like free will. I do think we have free will in every moment we choose it, right?
Mm-hmm. But
every moment we choose has put us where we're at, you know? And like, I look at all the mistakes and I'm just like going back to like the shame, you know? Like, it's so good that it put me here, you know? Like, I'm really happy to have like you guys in my life, you know? You guys have been really good friends of mine for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You're very important to me, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, that's the... And I don't mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just wish everything was different.
No,
everything
not putting words blows. In your mouth. Not putting words in your mouth
at all. No, but yeah, I definitely would. Because I feel like I would just, like, I would think I would be, like, a lot more successful, you know? Like, I would just be more determined to be who I was actually supposed to be at this point.
Your true self.
Yeah, because I don't feel like who I am now is who I was supposed to be, you know?
We got a lot of future ahead of us, though.
Exactly, yeah. That's why it's always, you know, every day is a choice.
Yeah. Choice on choice on choice on choice. Hey, thank you so much for being here with me.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate your time. Like, I think you had a lot of valuable things to say, and thank you for sharing them.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have you back on. And thank you, Google Man. Appreciate you, Google Man.
Jamie.
Google Guy. Thank you. Thank you, Green Chair Guy. All right, we're out. Hey everybody, thank you for making it to the end of this episode. This one was really important to me, and I had a fantastic time conducting this interview, and hopefully you have something to think about and to be curious about. That's the point of all of this, is to stay curious. So thank you again so much, and I hope you have a wonderful week.